Job chapter 5 in your Bible this morning. We're going to go to the book of Job and we're going to read four verses as our text today. I do not have a patriotic type message this morning. My title does include the 4th of July, but it's not patriotic at all. And I'll give you that title in just a few moments. We'll get into the message in just a minute here after we read and have a good song. So find Job chapter 5 and let's stand together, please. If you get familiar with your Bible, it's at the right before the book of Psalms in your Old Testament. And we're going to drop all the way down to verse 24 at the closing of the chapter here. Verse number 24, let's read through the end of the chapter, which is verse 27. If you would please join me on the odd verses 25 and 27. Here's what the Bible says, "And thou shalt know that thy tabernacle shall be in peace, and thou shalt visit thy habitation and shalt not sin. Thou shalt know also that thy seed shall be great, and thine offspring as the grass of the earth. Thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age, like as a shock of corn cometh in his season. Lo, this, we have searched it, so it is. Hear it, and know thou it for thy good." Dear Lord, we thank you for your book and what it teaches us, and I pray that you'll please speak to our hearts from it this morning. I pray the message will be a source of an encouragement and help to people. Lord, there might be particular folks this morning in the crowd who need the truth right now. We'll all need it someday to some degree, either for our own lives or to help somebody. So, Lord, please be in the service. Thank you for the good music so far in our country and the songs of America. And now, Lord, bless this part, please, this special song and the message to follow. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated.
Sometimes I live my life just as you planned. Other times I struggle to obey your commands. Choices I make each day determine if I'll obey and follow you, trusting you. Guide me, I pray. Lord, I cry in despair.
Oh, I know you're with me and you hear every prayer.
Open my eyes to see that you know what's best for me. You're ever near, calm my fear. This is my plea. Focus on you. my focus on you.
This morning, I want to draw your attention to verse number 26. Thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age, like as a shock of corn cometh in his season. That last phrase, like as a shock of corn cometh in his season. I want to speak on this subject today, knee high by the 4th of July. How many of you know what I'm talking about when I say, oh, we got a bunch of farmers here this morning? All right. Knee high by the 4th of July. Let's pray together. Dear Father, I pray that you'll please speak to our hearts and thank you for this book and all that it teaches us. May we benefit from this passage this morning. Lord, help our hearts to be focused on you right now. God, this is not about a man. This is not about a preacher. This is about a book of truth and a message of truth that can help. Encourage, bless. May we give our souls, hearts to you these next few moments, that you can do whatever you want in us. If somebody's here without Jesus Christ as personal Savior, please reach down and convict and draw them to Christ. And Lord, make this a profitable morning in your word, I pray in Jesus' name. And amen. Have you ever heard the saying, with friends like him, you don't need an enemy? In other words, he's not much of a friend if he's no better than your enemy. That's the truth. After Job was struck the second time by satanic attack, three of his friends came to console and to counsel him. Some of the funniest to me, some of the funniest things in the Bible are in the book of Job, said by these friends and in Job's response to them. You know, at one time when he told him, he said, "Surely wisdom died with you." I thought that was one of the greatest lines ever spoken. It's just hilarious, you know. But the Bible's a boring book. Remember that, right? So anyway, these guys, they come to console him. They come to counsel him. Eliphaz was one of the three, and he spoke first. He's going to console, he's going to counsel Job. And he starts in chapter 4. We're not going to go through everything Eliphaz said. You know, he basically accuses Job of despondence in the face of adversity. And, you know, that may be true. Maybe Job got despondent in the face of adversity, but it's kind of hard not to sometimes. And you need to try to encourage the guy, but he didn't. He accused him of despondency. He said, innocent men don't perish. If you were innocent, this wouldn't be happening. And the wicked are afflicted for their sins. And he tells about a vision that he had. Probably had too much Supreme Pizza the night before and Pepsi or something. And he tells about this vision. He says that the wicked are always punished and God's justice will eventually catch up with the wicked. And he goes on a bit after. And God records it all for us to read. And he comes down to the end and he says, but you know, Job, after you get corrected by God, there is still time to bring forth fruit. That's what he was saying at the end of chapter 5, verse 26. Still time to bring forth fruit. Now, in Job's case, most of what Eliphaz said was nonsense. Even what he said that was true, much of it didn't apply to Job. And in reality, it didn't help Job much at all. We read the part that makes up the end of his comments, verses 24 through 27. And then chapter 6, Job starts responding to him. Eliphaz says in verse number 25 that Job will live to have more children and grandchildren, which he did. And in verse number 26, he says Job will have a full life. And then he says in verse number 26, your life will be like a shock of corn that cometh in his season. Like as of a shock of corn cometh in his season. Now that's what I want to think on this morning. What did he say? Job, you've suffered a setback. You are behind schedule from where you were. Everything was on schedule, but now you've lost ground. Okay. But like a shock of corn, you will come to fruitfulness. It will come. Now, what Eliphaz said, I don't think necessarily helped Job, but all of the Bible is profitable for spiritual growth and lessons can be learned from it. And I want to share a lesson from what Eliphaz said when he told Job, like as a shock of corn cometh in his season. I thankfully have gotten back into the habit of exercising again, and started that some months ago, and my exercise routine is about 4 to 5 days a week, sometimes 6, depending on what's going on, and it involves about anywhere between a 2.6 and 3 mile course that I take out by my house. If it's inclement weather, I have a treadmill, but that's boring to me, and so I like to be outdoors. And so in the month of April, when I was taking my exercise, I was running by these fields where no corn was planted. Rain, huh? Rain, and I mean not just a little rain, I mean heavy rain and wet, and water standing in the fields, water in the ditches out by the house, water in our ditch, and it wasn't draining because everything was saturated, and the tractors that should have been running through those fields planting corn and beans were idled and in the barn and machine sheds, and farmers weren't nervous, but they were, you know, they were saying, eh, you know, and then May came and there was more rain and there was nothing planted in those fields, and I'd run by and I'd see there was nothing coming up and it was wet and it was heavy rain again, nothing planted. And finally, in the month of May, that we had a window, 3, 4, 5 days of decent weather, and the wind blew hard and the water drained, and they began to plant the tractors, and I mean, buddy, they got with it. I mean, you saw them out late at night, sometimes through the night, into the morning. You saw those tractors and those farmers going full speed ahead because they knew they had a window. They had to get that corn planted. And then after they got it planted, here came more rain, and the fields were covered. And some of the corn was trying to break through the ground. And after the water dissipated, it was stunted, and it was yellow, which is, corn's generally green if you look now. This was yellow, and it was stunted. It was damaged, you could tell, in some places. And it didn't matter which direction I would run, south or north from the house, there's cornfields. And I'd run by those cornfields, and I'd see that corn, I mean, in early June, real small, and I would say to myself, not this year. Not this year. It's not going to be knee-high by the 4th of July this year. Not going to make it. Too wet, too cool, too late. This little old shock of corn coming up out of there, a little blade of corn coming up out of the ground. It's not going to make it. I'd run by those fields, I'd see that little bit of growth, and I'd say to myself, not this year. It's not going to make it. Not way, way too, it's behind too far, no way. And then 2 weeks ago came when it was 97, 98, 102, 104 heat index. And folks may laugh at this, but if you go out in the middle of a great big field on a day like that and stand very still, you can hear it growing. You can hear it snap, crackle, and pop. That corn grew. I was out this past week on my exercise. It was July 1st, July 2nd, and I'm running by those fields, and guess what? It's at least knee-high. It's up beyond my waist in some cases. I was looking at it again this morning. Who was going to preach then? Knee-high by the 4th of July. Knee-high and beyond. It got a late start. It got off to a slow beginning. But there it is now as of July 5 in most fields, tall and green. Oh, you know, in some low places you can see. You know, and the farmer told me Thursday night, I went up and I forget when it was. I don't know. At Friday night, I was sharpening mower blades on his grinder there. And he said, if it doesn't rain for another month, we're in good shape. And then it rained a half inch yesterday. But there it is. It's in some low places. It's hurt. It's stunted. But most of it is tall, and it's knee-high and beyond by the 4th of July. Now, got that in your mind? Okay. Been worth it coming to church so far, right? Learning about corn. All right. It's amazing how often the Bible uses plant life to illustrate spiritual growth. Make a note sometime when you're reading through your Bible. Take your pen and circle every time God uses plant life to illustrate spiritual growth. He uses trees in Psalms 1. He uses vines in John 15. He uses roots in Matthew 13. He uses fruit in Matthew chapter 7. He uses leaves and He uses seasons and He uses sowing and He uses reaping. And over and over and over again, more times than I can care to mention this morning, God uses plant life. Everything from orchards to flowers to crops to vineyards to teach us about spiritual growth. You know, folks, if you think about it, there's probably something about that cornfield out there. There's probably something about my garden, something about that bean field out there, something about that hay field that I can learn and apply to spiritual growth. Because God uses the plant kingdom over and over and over again to illustrate spiritual growth. Now, ideally, and I might be slightly off, if Brian could correct me this morning, but ideally, a farmer goes to his field in April and he plants the corn early and he plants the beans in the month of May and he gets his, if he didn't get his anhydrous on in the fall, he gets it on early and he cultivates and he's done by early to mid-June. He watches that stuff grow and the rain comes and the heat and then in the fall he goes out with his combine and he has a great harvest. I got this thing. Somebody said, Brother Dennis, you'll love this. Brother McDonald sent me this thing about this big long, or Ms. McDonald, this big long thing about things that are true about Iowans. My wife flipped out over that, you know. And one of the things was, your $60,000 Lexus doesn't impress us. We have a $200,000 machine in the shed that we only use 3 weeks out of the year. I like it. Huh? So he takes his combine in the field and he begins to harvest. And you know, Brian, how many summers do you think, though, ideal is the norm? You know, idealism for a farmer? Usually idealism is interrupted by something called realism, by reality. You got weather problems, you got too much rain, you got not enough sun, not enough heat, too much heat, you got mechanical problems, you got infestations of insects and bugs and new weeds and things don't go as planned. And still, I can't think of a summer recently when the corn wasn't knee-high by the 4th of July. Ideally, every person should get saved while they're young. Grow up with all the proper instruction and teaching. Learn how to avoid evil and be true to God. Hit the ground running as a young adult with energy and life and passion and vision and serve God. I mean, if it's in the secular world, the sacred world, doesn't matter. Just serve God and enjoy the harvest of blessings. And I praise God for people in this church who are like that this morning. It's been ideal. It hasn't been always easy. But you were saved young and you did right and you avoided the pitfalls and the snares of the devil and you listened to dad and mom and you hit the ground running and you came into young adult life with all the passion and energy of serving God, and God's blessed you, and it's wonderful. But you know what, folks? Reality, not all are like that. That's reality. Not all are like that. Some get saved later in life. I didn't get saved until I was 18. Some folks in this room didn't get saved until in their 20s or 30s or 40s or 50s. You pick up things that are not good. Habits and baggage that haunt you and kind of hang around in some cases. And it's not good. It's always a weight, if you will. And other folks, they get saved early, but they have a setback. And they go through periods of rebellion and sin and foolishness. And there are wasted months and wasted years. Folks, I want to tell you this morning, if a child of God comes to a place of true repentance, there is the opportunity to get started living for the Lord and doing right. And in almost all cases, there is still time to enjoy some measure of fruitfulness. In almost every case, you can still be knee-high by the 4th of July. Yeah. You can still be knee-high by the 4th of July. I was moved last weekend with the wedding of our daughter and all of that. But my heart was not only moved because of the wedding that I was able to be a part of on Saturday. My heart was moved Sunday morning when a group of adults stood here and a young man took a microphone and had a special number, had a solo in that special, and sang, and God moved in the service, and God blessed us all by the song, and my heart was just filled to overflowing, and I sat there, and the tears filled my eyes and came to the corners as I thought about, you know, praise God, knee high by the 4th of July. Late start, late beginning, slow bloomer, but there it is. That's how it is, thank God, with the Christian life. If you've been messed up, if you got a late start, if you're a late bloomer, maybe you're a stunted Christian for so long, for too long, and nothing can be done to reclaim the years that are wasted and behind you, but much can be done about the years that are ahead of you. And if corn gets a late start, it can still do well. And there are some elements that it must have. And if it gets those elements, it will grow. Even if it gets a late start, even if it's stunted, even if it's late blooming, it can still be knee-high by the 4th of July. And I want to say to some this morning, maybe in the room this morning, maybe you're not getting a late start. Maybe your growth as a child of God hasn't been stunted. Maybe you're one of those who listened and learned and obeyed and did right, and you're blooming at the exact time that you should be. But you have a friend, you have a loved one, you have a brother, a sister, you have somebody, a co-worker who's a child of God, and they got a late start. They're stunted. And they feel like they can't amount to anything. You tell them they can still be knee-high by the 4th of July. If they get, and by the way, folks, these elements that I'm going to mention three elements this morning. These are so simple and so basic and so foundational, but that's the Christian life. I like what Jack Howe said about it years ago. He said Christianity is nuts and bolts. It's nuts and bolts. What are the elements that corn needs? Even if it gets a late start, what is it? If it's stunted at the beginning, what are the elements that corn needs in order to be knee-high by the 4th of July? What does every child of God who got a late start in serving God need to be knee-high by the 4th of July? Number one, it's got to have rain. You got to have water. Got to have. And I want to relate that this morning to the Word of God. Look at Psalms chapter 1. Psalms chapter 1, our Bible. If you got a late start, if you've been stunted in your growth as a child of God, you're going to be knee-high by the 4th of July. You've got to have some Bible. You've got to have the Word of God. I like chapter 1, verse number 3, where the psalmist wrote, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Got to have water. And you know, the truth of the matter is, folks, even though we have had an abundance of rain, we'll have to have more rain this summer for those corn crops to be what they ought to be. Going to have to. When that corn starts shooting a tassel, we'll have to have a rain. They'll have to have a latter rain. There has to be. And it has to be. It's got to have water. We'll have to have some water for that corn to have a good crop. Trees flourish by water. You know, a lot of times if you're traveling in part of the country that you're not familiar with and you don't know where the rivers and the bodies of water are, a lot of times you can figure where the rivers are just by looking for what? A tree line. You see a tree line, you can almost rest assured there's water over there. Because plant life flourishes by the side of a river or a lake. Water. Plants flourish in the water. Now, the water in verse number 3 is an illustration of the Word of God that's mentioned in verse number 2. Look at the Bible. What it says in verse number 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And when he delights in the law of the Lord, and when he saturates himself in the law of the Lord, and when he meditates on the law of the Lord, and when he's getting a consistent input of the Word of the Lord, then he is like a tree planted by the rivers of water. God's Word waters God's plants. You and I are his plant. If we're a born-again child of God, no water, no growth. No Bible, no growth. You know what? Yesterday, that rain yesterday was a farmer's dream. It didn't come fast. Now, that's a nightmare on the 4th of July. That's a barbecue and fireworks nightmare. I mean, it just came all day. Now, I don't know how many of you guys got rain gauges. By the end of the day, I had between 4 and 5 tenths of water in my rain gauge. It never rained hard at all. It just came. It came. A slow, consistent rain that absolutely watered all the plants. And if you are getting started, if you've been a slow starter, if you are behind, if you didn't get saved until you were 18, if you didn't get saved until you were 20-something, 30-something, 40-something, 50-something, or if you've been stunted in your growth as a Christian, you knew what was right and you got saved and you've had a setback and you think, God can never use me. You're wrong, absolutely wrong. If you've been stunted, friend, you've got to get in this. Everybody needs this book, but if your growth has been stunted, you need it more. You got to get to this book. Yeah, you know, I wish there was something magical and fantastic and something wild and woolly to bring to your attention that you could plug in, that, you know, this leads to spiritual growth, folks. But I'm sorry, folks. There's nothing wild, woolly, and magical. It's all right there in that book. Every bit of it. Now, you've got to saturate yourself in that book. You know, a lot of these men that come through here and speak to us and are a blessing to our church are men who got a late start in life as a child of God. Brian Sharp got a late start. He'll be here in December. He's our Evangelist of the Year Christmas time this year. He got a late start. I think Brian was 18, 19 years of age when he got saved. Mother was a gambler, professional gambler. No male on his father's side of the family had lived past like 52 or 53. Rough. Rough. And his mother's, you think about a dad being a professional gambler, a mother? A professional gambler. He got saved. Got saved over at Dan, I can't think of his last name. Has all those boys. Dan Dietrich. Dan Dietrich over in Cahokia, Missouri. That when he was down in St. Louis area. And got saved, went to Dan Dietrich's church. And Brian Sharp went and lived on a family farm in the machine shed, in the barn, with a table and a lantern and a bed. Would go to work and then come back to that barn, get enough bread and meat and cheese to make a sandwich, and turn on that lantern and sit beside that makeshift table in a machine shed in a barn in Missouri and read 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 and go back to work the next day and come home and do the same thing the next day and go to work and then go to church and then go and then read. And he did that for a solid year. Now, one of the brightest minds in our ranks, Brian Sharp has. And you know, if you sat in that Revelation thing and you sat in that Genesis, I mean, you know, he's a student of the Word of God. God is using him in an unbelievable way. Hey, you think he's knee-high by the 4th of July? You bet he is. And it's because he got in this book. Dennis Corll comes through. And he preaches, and Dennis Corll has a tremendous mind. You'll get the July issue this morning, and I'll tell you what. You need to read that message right there, the long-term effects of bad association. That is a tremendous message. He preached it here at our church. You need to read it. Dennis Corll read 100 chapters. He's a bouncer in a bar when he gets saved. And he looks like a bouncer in a bar, even after he's been saved for all these years. And I could see him throwing guys out, couldn't you? You ever seen his fingers? Take a look at his fingers. They're all gnarled and crooked. He wasn't born that way, folks. Huh? That's from grabbing folks and throwing them out. That's how he was when he got saved. Started reading 100 chapters of the Bible the first 3.5 years of salvation life, his saved life. He read 100 chapters of the Bible every day. I think I'd call that saturated. Now, you know what? I'm not saying you've got to be a Dennis Corll with 100 chapters a day. And I'm not saying you need to be a Brian Sharp and squirrel away in a machine shed or a barn with a lantern and a table and a makeshift bed. But I am saying this. If you're stunted, you got to get in this book. And you got to stay in it. You can't get in it for 3 or 4 days, folks, and then drop out. You got to get in the Bible, and you got to stay there, and you got to read, and you got to read, and you got to read, and you got to read and read. You say, I don't understand it all. Been saved going on 34 years. this October. I don't understand it all either. No. But that doesn't minimize its benefit. It's God's book. It's spiritual nourishment. It's food. If you've been stunted in your Christian growth, if you got saved late in life, or you got saved early and then you got set back, that corn can still come in His season. God can still use you and make you into the man, the lady He wants you to be. But you're going to have to saturate yourself with the Word of God. Get in the Bible. And I mean, get into it. Get into it 3 and 4 chapters a day and read it. And yes, you'll have to make yourself do it. But there's going to be those times when you want to do it, and it just blesses you, and your heart gets full, and it's exciting. You've got to have some water. Got to have some. If you're going to get back to Nehi by the 4th of July. Number 2, you're going to have warmth, heat, and sun. Warmth, heat, and sun. You know what Psalms chapter, now I want to correlate that this morning to this right, what we know is church. I'm going to correlate to church. Psalm 92 and verse 13 says, "There those that be," isn't this interesting? "Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God." Planted, there's that reference to plant world again. Planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. When you come to church, you get heat, you get warmth, you get blessed from preaching, the preaching of God's Word, from fellowshipping with God's people. It's like a greenhouse effect. And if you've been a stunted Christian, if you're behind, if you're off to a slow start, you're not where you ought to be, somebody passes by your life and says, "No way, it won't happen, they'll never be used, they'll never amount to anything for God." Maybe they don't say it publicly, but they think it. You can still be knee-high by the 4th of July, but you're going to have the warmth, the greenhouse effect of God's place, the good old church. No. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse number 11 says, "If two lie together, then they have heat, but how can one be warm alone?" I've told this before. Some years ago, Ray is my soul winning partner on Saturday mornings, and there was an Oriental fella who got saved in the old buildings. So we're talking years ago. He was on the Taiwan or Thailand. He was on an Olympic swimming team that competed in the Olympics for his home country, and he was part of one of the medal winning teams. And he got saved. He got baptized. And he started coming to church. And he came almost every Sunday morning for a while. And then he started missing. So Ray and I went to visit with him. And it was the winter time. And he had some logs burning in a fireplace. And so I was talking to him about the need to be in church. Man, you got to come to church. You get fellowship at church. You get Bible preaching and teaching. You get the music that glorifies God. And you get the fellowship being with God's people. And, you know, Ray picks up on it. Ray's been saved for some time, and he's seen the illustration. You know, what if you take a coal on a bed of coals? You take one coal and you move it off to the side. What happens to that coal? And so instead of just telling him, he gets up. Ray does. He takes tongs, and he grabs a coal off of the fire, and he sets it off on the side of the mantle by itself. And he looks at that Oriental guy, and he says, "What do you think's going to happen if you do that with that coal?" "Ooh, burn the house down." I laughed. Ray was so intent on teaching this guy this spiritual lesson about fellowship. And he was so excited. And he said, "Go burn the house." He just put the tongs down and sat down. He said, "That's it. I'm not kidding. I don't think this guy understands me." That was hilarious. I laughed. And laugh because the guy was just so innocent. "Ooh, burn the house down." Got to keep that fire in the fireplace. Amen. But the truth of the matter is, you know, Ray was right, and it's true. You take a coal off of a hot bed of coals and put it over by itself, and pretty soon it's going to burn. The fire's going to go out. It's going to lose its heat and warmth. Now, I'll say something to you. If you're stunted in your growth, you better plant yourself in a local New Testament church. Plant. Does that kind of give the idea of permanence? Are y'all with me this morning? He's not talking about taking a pot in for... I mean permanence. Plant yourself in the ministry of a local New Testament church. Man, when the doors are open and the Bible is being preached, when the doors are open and the Bible is being taught, you be there unless work hinders you or you're sick. And I'm not talking about bringing fevers to church and all that nonsense. But I mean, brother, if you got a little runny nose, put some Kleenex in your purse or your pocket. Get you a handkerchief. Come on to church. Be careful who you shake hands with. Sit in the pew. Sit in the Sunday school class. And be careful about missing services at the local New Testament church. This place has a greenhouse effect. The fellowship and the music and the prayer and even the spirit that's at a local New Testament church, if God's given it a good spirit, it's all a greenhouse effect. You say, you know, I came a couple times and it just didn't do. You may not always realize the benefits. They may not always be tangible. But being there and being in the greenhouse is going to help you as a child of God get knee-high by the 4th of July. You know, so much of what God did for me when I got saved was just His mercy. You know, I was saved, and you know, Mike Hagee made us have devotions. He sat in the chair and watched us as we read the Bible. Now, I had my own devotions on top of that. But I mean, every day He watched us. He made sure we read the Bible. And then I had no choice. We were in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night. Dr. Lee Robertson used to call it three to thrive. Three to thrive. And I'm saying this morning, if you are stunted, if you got saved late in life, you're going to be knee-high. But I understand, folks, works. I understand. This is a crazy day in which we live. The world treats Sunday like it's Tuesday. The world treats Sunday like it's Friday. And you know, you got a person who's entrenched in a job and has been for some time, some months or some years. And you know, the schedule is you work Sundays. And I understand that. And you can't always change that immediately when you get saved. And work may take you out of the service on Sunday. But I would say this. If work takes you out, if health takes you out, if sickness takes you out, okay. But man, don't let anything else take you out. Be there. Plant yourself. Every time the doors are open, just come and be in this church. Be in the services. Be in the classes. Be where there's singing. Be where there's fellowship. Be where there's prayer. Be where there's a greenhouse effect. You know what? You'll be knee-high by the 4th of July. No doubt about it. And you know, we want something fancy. We like some filet mignon. And we like some, you know, sautéed this and that. And we like some shrimp and fish. But you know what this is this morning? This is meat and potatoes. Everybody needs meat and potatoes to grow. Plant yourself in the courts of the house, in the house of God. That's what He said. You're going to have Bible. You're going to have rain, which is the Word of God. You're going to have warmth, which is the fellowship of Christian people. And then number three, you're going to have weed removal. Weed removal. Matthew chapter 13 and Luke chapter 8. Don't have time to turn there this morning because I got to quit. The sower goes out to sow. He sows the seed. It falls on thorny ground. It germinates. It grows up. It sprouts. Now it's coming up. But you know what the Bible says? It brings forth no fruit to perfection. You want to know why? Because the weeds and the thorns grow up around it and choke it. All the sun and the rain that was intended for the plant, the weeds took it. I got a garden this year, and I'm trying to do my best to keep up on top of it and have a good garden because groceries are expensive. And it's good to eat fresh stuff out of the garden. So I got tomato plants. Several. My wife is not very happy about that. But anyway, I go out and look at those plants and I hoe. And they're nice and they're tall and they're green and they're growing. But every now and again, I'll pass by one of those plants and I'll look and I'll go, and I'll see a leaf. Amongst all those green tomato leaves, I'll see a leaf that's not a tomato leaf. What is that? That's not a tomato leaf. What is that? Get down there and look. Get to the leaf and follow the shoot, follow the vine back down, and it's a stinking weed. Right in the middle of the tomato basket. I follow that thing all the way to the ground, take my fingers, and try to pull it up by the roots. Because if I don't, the weed will get all the nutrition that was meant for the vegetable plant. There's got to be weed removal. So the Holy Spirit comes by my heart, and He comes by your heart, and the Holy Spirit takes a look at our hearts, and He sees us reading the Word of God and getting the proper rain, and He sees us sitting in church and getting the warmth and the fellowship and the heat of God's greenhouse, and the Holy Spirit looks and He sees a leaf that shouldn't be there. Yes, sir. That's got to go. That's got to go. Let me get down in there. Let me take my fingers. Let me get that thing and let me get it out by the root. Because a weed will take all the nourishment that's meant for the plant. No. We don't want to remove it. We don't want to let it go. No. It'll be all right, Lord. It won't get out of control. I'll watch it. I'll have a handle on it. And we keep things in our life that hinder our growth. If you've been stunted, if you got saved late in life and you picked up things and attitudes, and even, you know, I was talking to somebody the other day and they said, you know, since they've got saved, they look back now at the television shows they watched as a teenager 30 and 40 years ago, 20 years ago, and they marvel at what they used to watch with no thought of what effect it was having on them. Gilligan's Island. Marianne running around in her halter top. And Ginger. Used to sit and watch that and laugh and ha ha, man, that's hilarious, blah blah. Somewhere saw some old the other day. What? Spirit of God says, pull it out. Get rid of it. Yank it out. It's a weed. It's growing where it ought not grow. Clean it up. Get rid of it. Weeds will hinder growth. Choke out the thorns, the weeds. Choke out the fruit. You'll never bring forth fruit to perfection if we allow weeds and thorns to grow up with the fruit. It's got to be removed. Folks, I'm talking about basic things in life that must be in place if we are going to be knee-high by the 4th of July. Even if you get a late start, even if you've been stunted, even if you had a setback, you can still be knee-high by the 4th of July. If you get the proper amount of rain, the proper amount of heat, and warmth, and do some weed removal, your life can flourish as a child of God. Now let me issue a word of warning, and I'll be done this morning. Just in case one of you young people sitting out there, and so far your own schedule and your Christian life, you were saved early and you've been taught the things of the Word of God and your heart's clean and right and you've been good with dad and mom, and you think to yourself, well, if I can still be knee-high by the 4th of July after a setback, then why don't I just go out and have a little fun and see what it's like. There are several things wrong with that. First of all, it's not much fun. Second of all, you have no assurance you'll come back. And thirdly, you can't reclaim the months and the weeks and the years that are wasted. So don't sit here this morning to think to yourself, well, you know what? If I can have a setback and still be knee-high by the 4th of July. No, there are blessings that some of you kids enjoy this old boy never enjoys. Oh, yeah. There's things some of you kids have kept your heart and your mind clean right with God. And oh, there are things this young man and this young man enjoy that this old boy doesn't enjoy? And I'm telling you, if you're on schedule, growing as a plant in God's vineyard or God's orchard or God's field, and you're on schedule and you've not had a setback, you staple it. But if you've had a setback and somebody runs by your life, not this year, ain't going to happen. No way. Proper rain and the proper heat and weed removal, you can be knee-high by the 4th of July. Isn't God good? Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let's pray together. Dear Father, speak to our hearts this morning through this simple illustration from the world of agriculture. You use so many verses in the Bible trying to teach us about spiritual growth from the plant kingdom. This is just one. If there's somebody, Lord, here today who needs to learn it, I pray it'll be learned today. Speak to our hearts, please, Holy Spirit of God.